you say.
And what about the procreation of children? Or rather, not the proposal too singular to be forgotten, for all wives and children were to be in common, to the intent that no one should ever know his own child, but they were to imagine that they were all one family. Those who were within a suitable limit of age were to be brothers and sisters, those who were an elder generation, parents and grandparents, and those of a younger, children and grandchildren.
Yes, and the proposal is easy to remember, as you say.
And do you also remember how, with a view to securing as far as we could the best breed, we said that the chief magistrates, male and female, should contrive secretly, by the use of certain lots, so to arrange the nuptial meeting, that the bad of either sex and the good of either sex might pair with their like, and there was to be no quarrelling on this account, for they would imagine that the union was a mere accident, and was to be attributed to the lot.
I remember.
And you remember how we said that the children of the good parents were to be educated, and the children of the bad secretly dispersed among the inferior citizens, and while they were all growing up, the rulers were to be on the lookout, and to bring up from below in their turn those who were worthy, and those among themselves who were unworthy were to take the place of those who came up.
True.
Then, have I now given you all the heads of our yesterday's discussion? Or is there anything more, my dear Timaeus, which has been omitted?
Nothing, Socrates. It was just as you have said.
I should like, before proceeding further, to tell you how I feel about the state which we have described. I might compare myself to a person who, on beholding beautiful animals, either created by the painter's art, or better still, alive, but at rest, is seized with a desire of seeing them in motion, or engaged in some struggle or conflict to which their forms appear suited. This is my feeling about the state which we have been describing. There are conflicts which all cities undergo, and I should like to hear someone tell of our own city carrying on a struggle against her neighbours, and how she went out to war in a becoming manner, and when at war, showed by the greatness of her actions and the magnanimity of her words in dealing with other cities, a result worthy of her training and education. Now I, Critias and Hermocrates, am conscious that I myself should never be able to celebrate the city and her citizens in a befitting manner, and I am not surprised at my own incapacity. To me, the wonder is rather that the poets, present as well as past, are no better. Not that I mean to depreciate them, but everyone can see that they are a tribe of imitators, and will imitate best and most easily the life in which they have been brought up, while that which is beyond the range of a man's education he finds hard to carry out in action, and still harder adequately to represent in language. I'm aware that the sophists have plenty of brave words and fair conceits, but I'm afraid that being only wanderers from one city to another, and having never had habitations of their own, they may fail in their conception of philosophers and statesmen, and may not know what they do and say in time of war, when they are fighting or holding parley with their enemies. And thus, people of your class are the only ones remaining who are fitted by nature and education to take part at once both in politics and philosophy. Here is Timaeus, of Locris in Italy, a city which has admirable laws, and who is himself, in wealth and rank, the equal of any of his fellow citizens. He has held the most important and honourable offices in his own state, and, as I believe, has scaled the heights of all philosophy. And here is Critias, whom every Athenian knows to be no novice in the matters of which we are speaking, and, as to Hermocrates, I am assured by many witnesses that his genius and education qualify him to take part in any speculation of the kind. And therefore, yesterday, when I saw that you wanted me to describe the formation of the state, I readily assented, being very well aware that, if you only would, none were better qualified to carry the discussion further, and that when you had engaged our city in a suitable war, you, of all men living, could best exhibit her playing a fitting part. When I had completed my task, I in return imposed this other task upon you. You conferred together and agreed to entertain me today, as I had entertained you, with a feast of discourse. Here am I, in festive array, and no man can be more ready for the promised banquet.
And we too, Socrates, as Timaeus says, will not be wanting in enthusiasm. And there is no excuse for not complying with your request. As soon as